Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Play it once, Sam, for all time's sake.
Hoo-ah!
I didn't get a harump out of that guy.
Did you say, wait, wait?
Hey, what happened?
Wheat. Love and Death, Woody Allen, right?
That's right, Wheat.
Yes.
Ingmar Bergman reference there.
No more calls. We have a winner. It's Friday. We love to talk about movies with Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway, and co-host of the Movie Date podcast with Rafer Guzman, who's a film critic for Newsday. Welcome.
Hi, John.
Thanks, John.
Happy weekend. The summer blockbuster season is over. It's into the fall now, right?
Yeah, we're getting into September. Things start looking a little more downcast these days.
And this first movie, though, is highly anticipated from the director of Sixth Sense, right?
That's right.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Who's had a lot of dogs over the last few years. His offering is The Visit, and here's a clip.
Ned and Pop-Up are acting strange. Ow.
Kind of strange. Becca, did you hit Tyler?
No.
Kids?
Papa wears diapers and he keeps them in an outhouse, and Nana walks around at night without her clothes, and Papa thinks strangers are following him.
I knew we were going to have this call. You're old, Tyler.
The Visit. Okay, Rafer, what's the premise here?
So that's two kids who are going to visit their estranged grandparents. They have never seen them. They're estranged from their mother, that was played by Catherine Hahn right there. And when the children get there, they find that their grandparents seem to have some senior problems, maybe a touch of dementia, some erratic behavior, but it becomes quickly apparent that there's something far, far worse going on with these two.
So it's aging meets terror.
Yes, and I think it's so well done. It's so sneaky, the way this film sneaks up on you. You're not sure at first, is this just somebody who's acting a little bit weird? Oh, but they're so sweet. And the actress in particular who plays Nana is so good. Her name's Deanna Dunnigan, I believe that's how you pronounce it. And she's got the sweetest, most perfect grandma appearance, but then her behavior is so nutty. I love the way this movie just gradually tiptoes up on you and then just makes you scream. And yes, I was screaming my head off at this screening. I was just a mess. I've been sleeping with the lights on for the last few nights.
Well, he's going after a classic young person's fear, and that is when you, particularly in this society where there isn't a lot of, you know, encounters with people near death or extreme aging or, you know, a trip to the nursing home can be a complete freak out for a little kid. And lots of people talk about that.
And add to that, almost no internet connection where they are out in the country visiting grandma and grandpa. And that's true terror for a young kid.
That's right.
That's another thing, too.
Pennsylvania, M. Night Shyamalan's chosen location for all his films, once again.
Right. With all due respect for elderly people who are not terrifying, but in this particular case, they pull it off.
They do. Both those actors, Deanna Dunnigan is really good. Peter McRobbie, who's a longtime character actor, you'd recognize his face. Lots of Law and Order appearances. He's really good as the grandpa. I will say one of the things that I was reminded of was how good Shyamalan had been with Haley Joel Osment back in the day in The Sixth Sense. He's got this kid, excuse me, named Ed Oxenbould, who was in the Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Right.
This is like a tour de force for that kid. He's so charming, so funny. He steals every scene. He raps. He's got this great habit of replacing curse words with pop stars. So when he stubs his toe, he'll say Katy Perry. Great running joke in the film. He really steals the show. He's fantastic in the movie. I won't say this is Shyamalan's best movie, but it's kind of a return to form for him. I thought it worked really well.
Did he write the script?
Yes, he did. He wrote it, directed it. It's got that Shyamalan twist to it. You know, he has paired with Blumhouse Productions. They're the guys that do all those cheapo Paranormal Activity movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like this is almost him going back to basics, you know, no longer doing those big, bloated, disastrous semi-epics he was doing for a while. He's kind of gone back to the basics, this cheap, low-budget, effective horror movie, and I think it really works.
Do you think, though, that means that he's a one-trick pony in a sense, or has he grown as a director over all this time? Because you've sat through all of his
yes. movies, and I do think that it's a little bit of the Shyamalan curse that at this point everyone's going to watch a movie and just sit and wait for the twist. And I think that's unfortunate because in this movie, it really delivers. I thought this was great, scary movie.
All right, so The Visit gets a good review from Kristen and Rafer. What about 90 Minutes in Heaven? I guess the premise is right there in the title. Here's a clip.
You're gonna make it. You have to make it. You've made it this far.
I don't know that I want to make it.
You have to. Not for yourself, then hold on for us, Don.
I'm tired.
So is this, a movie for Mike Huckabee? Here, or is this a general audience's picture?
This is, I think, going to be a pretty niche film. It's a faith-based film based on a supposedly true story about Pastor Don Piper. He wrote a book about this. He was in a car crash, pronounced dead. 90 minutes later, another pastor passes by, reaches a hand into the car, prays for him, and lo and behold, he comes back to life. And so we're told that he spent 90 minutes in heaven, this miraculous vision. What I thought was kind of odd about this film is that he keeps that vision basically to himself the entire film, doesn't talk about it, doesn't tell anybody. And so what we get mostly is 90 minutes of scenes like the one you just heard where he's sitting in a hospital bed. He's played by Hayden Christensen. He's just sitting in a hospital bed, sort of gasping, complaining, moaning, and it's not a lot of fun to watch that, I have to say. I almost wished there'd been a little bit more time spent in heaven and not so much on earth.
You want some special effects in heaven and some Otto Preminger god or something like
there
that?
There are some literally pearly gates and some golden.
There are really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you at all. Pearlescent is how they're described. Yes.
Go toward the light. So much of it. A lot of light.
Kristen, you're really going to love this one.
I just wanted him to go back to heaven. If you want to be in heaven so badly, go back there because you're treating everybody on earth horribly. He's just absolutely horrible to his lovely wife, played by Kate Bosworth, to his best friend, who we heard in that scene there, to all the congregants in his church who are praying, to all of the people around the world who are now part of a prayer circle for him. He's just horrible to everyone. Will not talk with them when they visit, will not engage with the doctors. He's just a really bad man. And
so
I couldn't
cheer
for him at all. So I couldn't cheer for him.
The sequel will be 90 Minutes in Hell.
might be what the name of this movie should be.
I was sorely tested by this film.
All right, but let's not, before we go, and let's not joke about this. This is a solid genre of pictures. These pictures have solid audiences.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They make money. The War Room, another faith-based picture that came out recently, was the number one at the box office. These films do well. They do make money. I have yet to see one in this very narrow genre really bust out and become a massive hit. Some people would cite The Blind Side as an example of that because that had a lot of Christian overtones, but that was still essentially a Hollywood film, a Hollywood movie. It was not one of these smaller films, which tend to be, I think, pretty rough around the edges. The cast is not usually that great. The acting's not that great. The screenwriting, the directing, the editing, et cetera, are never all that great. But they resonate because the message is so strong. But I have yet to see one of these films really cross over and become an actual hit.
Well, maybe Ben Affleck will do the Divine Comedy. You never know, right?
could happen.
He's got to do something to redeem himself. What's on the podcast?
We're going to be reviewing a new TV Land show. It's not quite new, actually, but it's new this year, called Impastor, by popular demand from our listeners.
Not faith-based.
Not faith-based. Well, but we have faith that every week on the podcast, it's a fantastic conversation. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Date podcast, and Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Have a great weekend, you guys.
You too.
Thanks, John. You too.